May we be helped to commence our afternoon service by singing together hymn number 174. Hymn 174, tune Brookfield 310. Jesus is precious, says the word. What comfort does this truth afford? And those who in his name believe, with joy this precious truth receive. To them he is more precious far than life and all its comforts are, more precious than their daily food, more precious than their vital blood. Hymn 174, tune Brookfield 310.
Thank you. read together from the Holy Word of God in the book of Leviticus, reading chapter 10 and part of chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Eliphaz, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. They went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar his sons, Uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. Shall be a statute for ever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. And Moses spake unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons that were left, Take the meat offering that remaineth of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. And ye shall eat it in the holy place, because it is thy due, and thy son's due, of the sacrifices of the Lord made by fire, for so I am commanded. And the wave breast and heave shoulder shall ye eat in a clean place, thou and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, for they be thy due, and thy sons' due, which are given out of the sacrifice of peace offerings of the children of Israel. The heave shoulder and the wave breast shall they bring with the offerings made by fat of the fire, of the fire of the fat, to wave it for a wave offering before the Lord. And it shall be thine and thy sons with thee, by statute for ever, as the Lord hath commanded. And Moses diligently sought the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burnt. He was very angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, which were left alive, saying, Wherefore have you not eaten the sin offering in the holy place, seeing it is most holy? God hath given it you to bear the iniquity of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord. Behold, the blood of it was not brought in within the holy place. Ye should indeed have eaten it in the holy place, as I commanded. And Aaron said unto Moses, Behold, this day have they offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and such things have befallen me. And if I had eaten the sin offering today, should it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord? And when Moses heard that, he was content. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven footed, and cheweth the cud, among the beasts shall ye eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean to you. and the swine, though he divide the hoof, and be cloven footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. And just turning now to the 44th verse, and reading the last four verses of the chapter. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the Lord of the beasts, and of the fowl, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten, and the beast that may not be eaten. May the Lord bless his word unto us, and help us to approach unto him in prayer. O Lord, as we come before thee now, reminded that thou art a holy God. Oh, we plead, Lord, that thou wouldst be impressing that truth upon us this afternoon. Thou art the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. Lord, as we stand before thee as poor sinners, that we're unholy needs no proof. We sorely feel the fall. Oh, what hope can an unholy sinner have of ever approaching unto a holy God? For our God is a consuming fire. But Lord, as we're found within thy house this afternoon, we plead that thou wouldst be revealing to us once more that way that thou hast made. Oh, that way of holiness. Jesus, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, we plead, Lord, that that may be our hope this afternoon. Oh, that we're unholy needs no proof. We sorely feel the fall. Oh, but blessed be thy great and thy most holy name, that Christ has holiness enough to sanctify us all. Lord, we plead this afternoon that we might find it is he instead of us is seen as we approach to God. Thus, O sinner, we are safe. Oh, Lord, that he might this afternoon be making intercession for us, and by the merits of his death, the merits of his glorious person, that one offering offered for sin, his precious blood, which was for sinners spilt and does from sin atone. Oh, we plead, Lord, upon the ground, that precious ground, we may be enabled to come once more with boldness to the throne of grace, to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst be helping us to rightly worship thee. Remind us, Lord, that thou art in heaven, holy. We are upon earth, poor sinners. May our words be few. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst not leave us this afternoon to bring strange fire. May we not be coming with any of our own righteousness. But may Jesus' blood be our only plea. And may our great concern be that our worship might be Jesus Christ first, Jesus Christ last, and Jesus Christ all in all. Help us, Lord, to enter into thy gates with thanksgiving and into thy courts with praise. For, Lord, thou hast provided that way whereby we may approach, precious blood to cleanse from all sin, that pure and spotless righteousness of Jesus, which once applied is always on. O Lord, for such great, such free favours, to sinners so unworthy, we plead, Lord, this afternoon thou wouldst help us to truly come and put the crown in the right place and to repeat thy mercies in our song. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst bless the word that was read here this morning. Lord, may it not return unto thee void. Grant help, Lord, now in the preaching of the gospel. Lord, may there be that flowing together, but we know not all prosper this or that. If any were unfed this morning, may they be fed now. And Lord, those that receive blessing this morning, may we not be left to take away from it. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst be confirming thy people in the truth. Thou wouldst be teaching us of Jesus. That thou wouldst be convincing of sin, and causing us once more to cry out unto thee for mercy. Oh, we plead, Lord, that thou wouldst not lead us to go in and out of thy house this day, unaffected by what we hear. But oh, that we might be bettered, built up in our most holy faith, growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord, thou knowest how we come. All the things that concern us in this life. Lord, ourselves. Oh, how the case stands with us before thee, a holy God. Oh, we plead that thou wouldst have mercy upon us, Lord. Visit us once more with thy salvation. And apply the gospel's joyful sound to every needy soul. Bless, Lord, each one that's gathered. Bless, Lord, the families. We plead thy presence might be amongst them, that thou wouldst give grace and wisdom to the parents in bringing up their children, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Be, Lord, with the children. Oh, be keeping their hearts in the days of childhood, Lord, that thou wouldst be teaching them of thyself. Teach them of their need of thee. Be with them as they may return to school, Lord. Watch over them. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst be with those who may have mountains before them. Whatever, Lord, they may be, we'd ask that thou wouldst help them this day to be looking alone unto thee, and may they prove the mountains flow down at thy presence. Oh, Lord, where any that have to say, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. Oh, that thou wouldst draw near, Lord, to bless them. No, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst give help in the working life. Keep us, Lord, as we're amongst the world. Oh, the salt might not lose its savour. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst be keeping unto the day of Jesus Christ. Preparing us, Lord, for our end. Oh, how swiftly time flies. Once more, once less, Lord, in thy house. Oh, may our urgent, ardent desire be that we will not let thee go except thou bless us. Oh, speak the word only, Lord. Say that we are thine and thou art ours. Oh, thou wouldst speak unto souls this afternoon. Yea, I have redeemed thee. Call thee by thy name, thou art mine. Oh, Lord, that thou wouldst take away all fear. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst remember those that can't be here this afternoon. Be with them and bless them in sickness, Lord, in weakness. In old age, thy servant away ministering, Lord, his dear one, bless him. Wherever he labours this day, may there be signs following the preaching of the word. Remember, Lord, thy church here. Bless the deacons. We'd ask thy special help to our brother in the desk, Lord. Strengthen him in all the burdens that fall upon his shoulders, but may he prove underneath of the everlasting arms. Grant, Lord, grace and wisdom. Direct thy church here. Lead them, Lord, beside those in those green pastures, beside those still waters. Lord, we'd ask that there might yet be those constrained to the desire, Lord, to be numbered among thy people. May there be those, Lord, even this day that rejoice. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst be yet causing thy gospel to go forth with power here to the good of never dying souls, to thine honour and to thy glory. Bring thy sons and daughters from far, thy children from the ends of the earth. We'd ask, Lord, that yet in this city thy name might be glorified, that thy word might go forth with power. Oh, Lord, could it be thy good pleasure, as thou hast watched over thy people here, to pluck them up and to pull down, thou wouldst also watch over them to build up, to encourage them, Lord, and to strengthen them in Jesus. Bless the ministry here week by week, Lord. May thy servants not labour in vain. But, oh, may there often be those evidences that thou hast been in the midst of thy people according to thy promise, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, there thou wouldst be in the midst of them. Lord, thou knowest all what has passed. Oh, we plead that we may rightly be enabled to forget the things that are behind and to press toward the mark, to be found, Lord, looking unto Jesus. But, oh, we would plead, Lord, that thou wouldst bring back thy erring sheep. Thou wouldst, O Lord, yet have mercy upon Zion, O deliverance sent. Thou wouldst, O Lord, yet be working amongst our churches, O the solemn falling away. Lord, the decline that is evident to all. But, O, thou wouldst bring us, Lord, to repentance, to confess we have erred before thee. O, that in thy love and in thy mercy thou wouldst return. O, that thy voice might be heard saying, return unto me, I'll return unto you. Lord, that thou wouldst speak with power, as thou didst to the patriarch of old, to go up again unto Bethel, and there to pay our vows. Lord, have mercy upon our land this day. Bless our sovereign king, our prime minister, all those that thou hast set in authority over us. Give us, Lord, grace to rightly order our steps in the day and generation in which we live. Oh, that thou wouldst, O Lord, help us to pray for those in authority that we might live peaceful lives. Bring them, Lord, to repentance. Convince them of sin. Oh, that we might yet see thy power upon us as a nation, Lord, to bring us again unto thee. But leave us not, Lord, to settle down here, to not look for a kingdom which is built with hands, but, oh Lord, that we might be found hastening toward that kingdom which isn't heavenly. Declaring plainly that we seek a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Remind us, Lord, once more this day, this world is not our home. But, oh, thou wast quicken our steps and draw us heavenwards, that we might be found, Lord, looking and waiting for the appearing again of Jesus Christ a second time without sin unto salvation. Oh, to be ready when he, for he shall call. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst grant us truly thankful hearts, thy continued mercies unto us. Help us, Lord, as we journey to sweetly sing. For, Lord, thou art worthy to be praised. Oh, day by day, the blessings that thou dost daily load us with. But, Lord, above all things that we receive in this time state, though they are very precious, Lord, the riches of sovereign grace. Oh, the wonders of love unknown. The humility of thine own dear Son in coming to this world, no reputation. Oh, that he should be found in the form of a servant, in the fashion of men. That he should be obedient unto death, even the cursed death of the cross. The guilty worms, and not the righteous, but sinners. Oh, the sinners might rise. Lord, for such amazing grace, for such wonderful love, oh, we plead, Lord, this day that thou wouldst help us to rightly come and to worship thee, lost in wonder, love and praise. May the crown be in the right place. And Lord, may we truly have a right understanding that without thy free mercy we could not live here. Sin soon reduces us to utter despair. How utterly dependent upon thee. Oh, help us, Lord, to return and to give thee thanks for thy faithfulness. Lord, great is thy faithfulness. Thou hast not failed us, nor forsaken us, O God of our salvation. Oh, thou, Lord, thou art still strong, and none can pluck us from the strength of Israel's hands. And the fullness of thy everlasting love, the loving kindness with which thou dost draw us. Oh, we plead, Lord, that hallelujahs, O might sound unto thy glorious name in sinners' hearts this afternoon. Lord, we'd ask thy blessing upon us now. Be with us as we seek to sing thy praise. Be with us as we turn to thy word. Give us hungry and thirsty souls, and satisfy us richly, Lord, with the provision of thy house, with the gospel feast, a feast of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. Oh, may we go on our way, Lord, rejoicing that it has been good for us to draw near unto thee. Receive us graciously, Lord, take away all our sins. Remember us for good, we'd ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Paul Tyler will preach here on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Bernard Burgess next Lord's Day, both morning and evening. And today we take our monthly collection. Maybe now we have to continue our worship, singing together hymn number 543. Hymn 543. June Chester, 455. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to bliss. In this way the church has trod down from Adam's day to this. Jesus is the living way, all beside to ruin lead. They are safe, and only they, who are one in Christ their head. Jesus is a holy way, leads to endless joys above. Holy men, and only they, walk in this blessed way of love. Hymn 543, commencing to sing at verse 3, tune Chester 455.
Help me this afternoon and grant you prayer for attention. I direct you to a text you'll find in the book of Psalms. Psalm 93. The 93rd Psalm. Psalm 93. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed in majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art for everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. It is to the closing words of this psalm that I wish to direct your attention. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Our God is a holy, holy, holy Lord God. The account that we read together in Leviticus declares the holiness of God. O God, who cannot bend his law at all, he is utterly righteous, utterly holy. But when those two went in with strange fire, not according to the command of God, he must consume them in their sin. And he's still the same God today. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. I am the Lord, I change not. Such that we find this is not just the God of the Old Testament, but the God of the New. Paul declares, for our God is a consuming fire. And at the end of our reading, as we read, oh, ye shall be holy. Oh, for I am holy. We find the same truth set before us in the New Testament, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. It was true of the tabernacle in the wilderness. It was true of the temple when this psalm was written. Oh, friends, it is still true today. It ever will be true that God can only dwell in holiness. And we are sinners. Oh, our sins are separated between us and God precisely because he is holy and we are unholy. And for a moment, we just want to consider these words as they refer to the temple, to the tabernacle, holiness becometh thine house. As we read together of that holiness that became the tabernacle in those days, or when sin was punished by fire coming out from the holy place and destroying the sinner. The whole of temple and tabernacle worship was to emphasise the holiness of God. Oh friends, you had the camp of Israel outside the camp of Israel. Oh, that was the world. That was the place where the scapegoat went. That was the place where the ashes were taken, where the unclean lived. The camp of Israel was holy to the Lord, a holy people. And there in the midst of that holy people, the tabernacle. Oh friends, not anybody could enter into the tabernacle, but the holy people. And in the midst of the tabernacle, the holy place, where the priests alone could go. And in the holy place, the holy of holies, where the priest could go once a year, and then not without blood. And every step of tabernacle worship, from the sacrifice upon the brazen altar, the washing and the laver, or the altar of incense, the candlestick, the table of showbread, the veil. Ah, friends, through to the place where God dwelt, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat. And there between the cherubims that are upon the ark, I will commune with you. The place where God dwelt. The whole of it was to convince the poor sinner in Old Testament times, holiness becometh thine house, that God is a holy God. Oh, do you say this afternoon, well, why did they need such elaborate things to teach them that God is a holy God? Oh, friends, rather we should be noticing that despite all of the elaborate nature of Old Testament worship, despite all the evidences of God's holiness, poor sinners still thought they could approach to a holy God. Oh, they still thought they had a right to come. Nadab and Abihu, oh friends, they learnt the hard way, didn't they? God is a holy God. Oh friends, this afternoon, do you realise God is a holy God? Do you tremble at God? Or do you trifle with God as Nadab and Abihu did? Oh, friends, are you saying this afternoon, it's not what God thinks, it's what I think? Are you saying that God is out of date? Oh, friends, are you found looking at the law and looking at the word of God? Are you found looking at the ways your forefathers have walked in and saying, well, we're in a post-Christian world now. God has changed. We can put those things to one side. No, friends, God does not change. He is a holy God. And he cannot look upon sin with any degree of lenience. holy, holy, holy. Oh, friends, that is the cry of the saints in heaven. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He's still the same God, and holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, there are those that they rightly point to the divide there is between the Old and the New Testament. Oh, friends, it's a God-placed divide. They rightly separate between the law and the gospel. Oh, but they say the holiness of God, that is set before us in the law. But when we come to the gospel, it's all a gospel of love. Oh, now we can do whatever we like. No, friends. Oh, holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Not holiness for a time, and then holiness put away. No. Oh, friends, our text, we're still living in the days of our text today. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. And it became the temple. Ah, friends, it became those holy instruments that were found within the temple. You read down the account of the children of Israel in the Old Testament. How many times they're reminded of this. Oh, from the one that would put forth his hand to steady the ark of God upon the cart. Ah, friends, the king that went in to offer before the Lord and was struck down with leprosy. Oh, time and time again the same message goes forth. Holiness becometh thine house. Oh, Lord, forever. Our God is a holy God. Oh, friends, do we realise it this afternoon? Do we tremble before him? Do we fear? Oh, God is to be had in reverence. Of all them that of all the saints to be feared. Ah, friends, what do we know of that reverence and godly fear? What do we know of our text this afternoon? Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, you know, friends, the whole of Old Testament worship was to convince the worshipper that God was a holy God. It was to teach them that they were a sinner. And as a sinner, there could be no approach unto God. Oh, God consumes sinners that try to come near unto him. God cannot look upon a sinner. God cannot receive a sinner, because God is holy. Sin is against the very nature of God. Oh, friends, sin is its very essence. It denies God, as God said. Oh, the spirit of the sinner is, who is this God? And we will not have this man to reign over us. But the whole of tabernacle worship was to shut them up to a way. One single way of approach. There was a way into the holy place. Ah, friends, what was that way? Through the blood. Through the offering. Oh, through the blood shed upon the altar. Through the washing that took place in the laver. Ah, friends, through the high priest. And it was through that high priest who bore the names of the children of Israel upon his breastplate and upon his shoulders once a year with blood. He took the names of the children of Israel into the holy place. That there, though a sinner, they might be brought into the presence of God through blood. And the whole of Old Testament worship, in that sense, was to teach the gospel, to point to the way whereby a sinner may approach unto God. Oh, friends, what is that way? Jesus Christ. And as the Lord would help us this afternoon in coming to consider these words, we want to just notice several aspects in which this is true. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, the house of the Lord. What is the house of the Lord? Well, friends, the house of the Lord must begin there. The tabernacle of God is with men. Oh, what did the tabernacle represent? It represented the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It represents him who stands between the sinner and the holy God. And he who is the way, the truth and the life, who says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, but he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. He who is that mediator who stands before the poor sinner, who trembles. Oh, how can I approach unto God? Oh, as the hymn writer says, our sins, oh, how black they appear unto us. Brings us to ask the question, how black and vile must we appear, most holy God, to thee? Oh, but since my Saviour stands between in garments dyed in blood, 'tis he, instead of me, is seen as I approach to God. Thus, though a sinner, I am saved. Oh, friends, a way made whereby we may approach unto God. And what a way. Holiness becometh thine house. Oh, friends, Jesus Christ, God dwelling with men. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And these words speak of Jesus Christ. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, God dwelling with me, holy. And what does the Apostle Paul tell us of that dear Saviour in Hebrews? He tells us he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Oh, you see, friends, we must have a holy Saviour. We must have a holy mediator. A sinner can never approach to God for us. Friends, we can never come before God. We are sinners. And He is a holy God, but He's provided a holy Saviour. As you were singing together of Jesus, that holy way. Oh, friends, the only way, because that way unto God must be holy, and Jesus holy. Oh, born of a woman, made of a woman, made under the law. Ah, friends, how can a clean thing come forth from an unclean thing? Well, may we ask that question. Oh, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. Mary was told, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. Oh, that thing that should be conceived in her, of her substance. Oh, according to the flesh of the seed of David, a real man. A real man. May we not lose sight of that. A real man. Oh, but that thing that shall be conceived in thee, holy thing. Oh, friends, holiness becometh thine house. A perfect Saviour. Thee we own a perfect Saviour. Only source of all that's good. Jesus, that holy way. Ah, friends, He came into this world holy. And He remained holy, separate from sinners. Ah, friends, sin was never found in Him. No guile found upon His lips. The world could not charge Him. Oh, they charged Him falsely. Oh, they had to bring trump charges against Him. Pilate could find nothing wrong with Him. We hear the testimony of the dying thief. We indeed justly, but this man has done nothing amiss. Ah, friends, why is a holy man dying? Oh, He who knew no sin made sin for us, dying in the place of His sin, of His people who were sinners, bearing their sins. But He holy. And oh, friends, He now lives. The Saviour lives no more to die. Our great High Priest, holy. He's entered into the holy place for us. He's in the presence of God this afternoon. And He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Wherefore, He's able to save unto the uttermost. Oh, the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need. Welcome to the throne of grace. The Saviour's blood to plead. This is the way. Oh, whereby a poor sinner may come into the holy house of God. A poor sinner might come into the presence of God through this holy way. Through Jesus, our holy High Priest, our holy Saviour. Who has a right to go into the holy place. Oh, ordained a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Appointed the mediator of the new covenant, he has an appointment to go in there. Ah, oh, friends, it must be a priest to go into a holy place. Not even a king could go into the holy place, but a priest. But he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He has a right. And then the priest could only enter in as he made himself clean, as he went through all the ceremonial purification. Oh, friends, why? Because it was a holy place. Holiness becometh thine house. Oh, but this man. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate of sinners. He can enter into that holy place because He is holy. He is holy as God is holy. No, the priest could not enter but with blood. But Jesus enters in with blood. Oh, His own precious blood. The blood of the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And He enters in there for His people. Bearing their names on His breast. And oh, friends, He entered in for you. Have you ever been convinced of your need of Jesus? Have you ever been convinced of your need of that mediator? Feeling your unholiness, convinced of the fact that God is holy, utterly holy. There can never be any change in His holiness. Thus, feeling your separation from God. Oh, brought to Him who says, I am the way. I am the way, the truth and the life. Brought to Him who has entered into that holy place, the sinners. Brought to stand between in garments dyed in blood. That we, poor sinners, might have a way to approach. And oh, friends, at last, that we might have a way whereby we may be brought into the holy presence of God, made holy. Oh, through the work of that great High Priest. Friends, that's a mystery, isn't it, of redemption? That's a mystery of redemption. Oh, we shall be made holy as He is holy. Neither know we what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him. Friends, we shall be made holy. It seems almost impossible for a poor sinner, a poor child of God who still has to cry with the apostle, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death?" Oh, friends, who? Jesus Christ the righteous. Who has that holiness enough to sanctify us all? Friends, who's through whose death, through whose spirit, through whose truth and word? Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. Friends, that we at last should be found holy, made perfect in holiness, to enter forever into the house of God. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. Oh, just for a moment to emphasise that point, this text speaks of heaven, doesn't it? Oh, friends, it speaks of heaven. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. Were it not so, I would have told you." Friends, what house is that but a heavenly house? A home in the heavens. The place where God dwells. Holiness becometh his house forever. Friends, you see, in order to be brought into heaven forever and forever, when we die, we must be made holy. We must have come through that only way into the holy place, through Jesus Christ, the Holy One. Oh, friends, what a wonder. Did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust that guilty worms might rise? Yes. Oh, friends, yes he did. He left his radiant throne on high. Ah, friends, he stooped down. A worm and no man. Oh, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Friends, yes, the guilty worms might be made holy and brought into holiness forever and forever. You know, friends, we live in a day where people continually want to water down the holiness of God, and they water down the holiness of heaven. Friends, you ask people what heaven is like, you ask them to describe heaven, you know, you'll find some very strange views. I've even heard some strict Baptists recently that have spoken about their pets being in heaven. Oh, friends, what have we come to? Holiness becometh thine house forever. Without a dogs. Without a dogs. Friends, what is heaven? Oh, but the continual worship of a holy God. That's what holy souls want, friends. That's what holy souls want. Oh, you know, if you know any part in the intercession of Jesus Christ, if you feel your need of him this afternoon, you'll be found breathing after holiness, mourning over your sin, longing for that day where you shall never, never sin, but from the rivers of his grace drink endless pleasures in, where there shall be nothing, not even, oh, friends, the inclination to sin within you, but holiness. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord. Ah, friends, it's only those that have an interest in our holy Saviour, that have any desire after this holiness. The carnal mind will never want this holiness. The natural man will never want this holiness. No, friends, that loves the dust. It loves that which is unholy. My soul cleaveth to the dust. But the cry of the Lord's people is, "Quicken me. Oh, make me holy, Lord. Make me holy. Prepare me for heaven, to dwell with thee there. For holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever." Ah, friends, is that the heaven you're looking for this afternoon? Oh, that place where sin shall no more defile. Ah, where you shall be freed from sin. Where you shall be holy as he is holy. Made perfect in holiness. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Ah, friends, we cannot water down the standard. And those who are convinced of the holiness of God and brought to breathe after holiness, they don't want the standard watered down. Friends, they don't want anything put in here to qualify holiness. They don't want anything taken off the forever. No, friends, their hope is, oh, their glorious prospect is found in our text. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Heaven is that holy place. Oh, where we shall never sin. The king's highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. Oh, but the wayfaring man, though fool, shall not err therein. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, where God dwells. Where God dwells. But then, friends, that brings it a bit closer to home, doesn't it? Oh, in one sense, it's easy to speak about the holiness of heaven. It's distant from us. It's easy to speak about the holiness of the tabernacle and the temple. But, oh, friends, what does the New Testament tell us? Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Oh, the believer in Jesus Christ, those who are saved by grace, those who are regenerated into life, God dwells in us. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Ah, friends, he is in us. Paul says, it is not me that liveth, but Christ that liveth in thee. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, this is a doctrine of Paul throughout all his epistles. The Holy Ghost dwells in the believer. Oh, friends, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, friends, that's how close this must come, you see. Some find it very easy to speak of holiness all the while it concerns heaven. And holiness all the while it concerns the worship of God's house. But no, friends, holiness, it must come down to this. The heart of the believer. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, God dwelleth in us. If we are sinners saved by grace this afternoon, friends, if we know anything of the new birth, if we know anything of life from the dead, oh, God dwelleth in us. We are in that sense, friends, the house of God. And our text tells us, holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, friends, the mercy is, as the hymn writer says, oh, unholy dwelling, glorious guest. But he goes on to say, doesn't he, or perhaps he's in a different hymn, thyself prepares the room. Oh, for shouldst thou wait till thou canst find reception worthy thee? Oh, he would never come, would he? But thyself prepares the room. Oh, the work of grace in the sinner, seen in picture, is it picture form, isn't it, Jesus? Oh, he goes into the temple, the house of God. What does he find? Not holiness becoming his house, but all the buyers and the sellers, all the tradesmen, the money changers, those who are selling doves and everything else. Oh, friends, a profiteering racket. What does he do? He casts them all out. He casts out the buyers and the sellers. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, you know, friends, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. When he would enter into a soul, oh, friends, he enters in. He prepares the room. He casts out the buyers and the sellers. He says, I'll take away the stony heart. I'll give you a new heart, a heart of flesh. Oh, he takes away the heart of sin that is within us. Oh, friends, he gives us a new heart. A heart that trembles at the approach of sin. A heart that loves holiness. Friends, he changes the will. Changes the desires. Changes the affections. We become a new creature. A new creature in Christ. Friends, the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that work is holy. Well, John is very clear on this in his epistle. Oh, the believer cannot sin. His seed remains in him. That is that temple where the Holy Ghost dwells within the Lord's people. It can never be defiled because holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. This is a doctrine, friends, and I would emphasise that this afternoon. Oh, this is a doctrine. The experience we'll come to in a moment. Oh, the two at times may appear to contradict one another. They don't contradict one another. Oh, blessed be God, they don't. And oh, friends, at times, this is the truth the Lord's people need to come back to. Oh, the Word of God tells us that where the Holy Ghost has entered, holiness becomes his house forever. Oh, there is that within us, that new nature which can never sin. Oh, friends, a child of God can never fall from grace. His seed remains in him. He remains holy. Holy. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, friends, the work of grace is the work of God. It can never be less than holy, can it? It can never be less than holy. And it's the work of God, it's invincible. That work can never be undone. That work can never be destroyed. If it's the work of man, it could be, but it's the work of God. Oh, friends, it's an invincible work. We believe in invincible grace, don't we? He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, Paul says, being persuaded of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's the work of God. And that work, friends, all the work begun is carried on with power from God on high. And every step from first to last proclaims that God is love. Oh, friends, that's what the Lord's people have to rest upon. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, but you say, I find myself still a sinner. I still wrestle against sin. I find a sin within my members, so did the Apostle Paul. Though this is the teaching of the Apostle Paul. Oh, friends, the Apostle Paul speaks of being dead to sin in Romans 6. Sin no longer has dominion over him. He's been freed from it. What? How? Oh, by the death of Jesus Christ. By the power of that death. Oh, by the operation of the Holy Spirit within him, by the nature of regeneration, new life. Holiness becometh thine house. But what does the Apostle say? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Ah, friends, continual warfare. Continual warfare. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, you know, friends, go back to the picture of the tabernacle in the midst of the camp of the children of Israel. Oh, you had the world outside the camp. And the Lord's people have got the world outside. But oh, come to the camp of Israel. Ah, friends, the children of Israel were a holy people, a peculiar people, separated to God. But see what went on in the camp. Ah, friends, the camp still had sin in it. The serpent still bit. Leprosy was still found in the camp. But oh, the tabernacle of God was still in the midst of Israel. Holiness becometh thine house. Ah, friends, you know, the Lord's people. We still have those camp dwellers, the Canaanites still in the land. We still carry about a body of sin and death. We're not yet holy. Oh, but that new nature, the new man of grace, the temple of the Holy Ghost, holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. But oh, you know, friends, the Lord's people, they can't be satisfied. Oh, their unholiness. Those things that come into the camp, those things that disturb the peace. Oh, the old man of sin causes them much trouble. Oh, they cannot be satisfied with his presence. They're continually warring, continually fighting, continually breathing after holiness. Their daily prayer is, nor let my head, my heart, my hand offend against my God. Oh, friends, they would be holy because they are convinced of this. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, the very nature of grace is we're convinced of the holiness of God. Convinced of our need of a mediator to stand between in garments dyed in blood. We're convinced of the fact that Jesus is the only way. The way, the truth and the life. And Jesus is a holy way. Oh, and therefore we would be holy. We would be holy. At times, our friends, the old man may seem to gain the field. But you know, it's an indelible mark of grace that the Lord's people would be holy. They would be holy. Oh, they have to mourn over all their unholiness, their slips, their falls. Ah, friends, the spots in their feasts, all that is unholy about them. Ah, friends, it has to drive them daily to the throne of grace. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Wash me thoroughly from all my iniquities. Oh, wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. That's what we want to be. And our friends, it's the gospel that causes our heart to rejoice. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. Our friends, does that make your heart leap again this afternoon? All your sin and all your unholiness. Ah, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we confess our sins, faithful and just is he also to forgive us our sins. Oh, you see, friends, those that know something of our text this afternoon, that can say this is the word of God. Oh, that it speaks to them with power. Holiness becometh thine house. It makes them a mourner over sin. It makes them a mourner after Jesus Christ. Ah, friends, it makes them cleave more and more to that holiness which is in Christ. It makes them seek more urgently, more ardently, day by day, after Jesus, the way of holiness, the only way into this holy place. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, friends, I want to be clear, you know, I fear there are some. They've got no hope because they're not yet holy. Oh, they're looking for holiness within themselves. They're hoping that if they work a little bit harder, they can become more holy. Oh, they're trying to read the Word of God a bit more. They're trying to pray a bit longer. Oh, they're trying to bring forth their own works of righteousness. Oh, friends, you'll never get there, you know. David. Oh, what was his confession as an aged saint, though my house be not so with God? Oh, friends, David could not plead sinless perfection. The Apostle Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? The Apostle Paul couldn't plead sinless perfection. Ah, friends, and neither can you. The hymn writer says, doesn't he, sinless perfection, I deny, the chief of Satan's wiles. Oh, you know, friends, Satan, you see, has two great lies. And if you carefully read the writings of the apostles in the New Testament, you will find they are almost exclusively taken up with defeating these two great lies. And what are they? On the one hand, oh, that we must make ourselves holy. On the one hand, that works are everything. The only way to heaven is for you to make yourself holy and for you to work your way there. What is the other lie? That holiness doesn't matter. That holiness doesn't matter. It's all of grace, therefore it doesn't matter how I live. Oh, friends, the apostles had to argue against both of those lies, and both those lies are still seen in the Church of Christ today. Oh, friends, on the one hand, that everything is about works, and on the other hand, that works don't matter. On the one hand, legalism, on the other hand, ah, friends, rank antinomianism, let me sin that grace may abound. Ah, friends, what solemn positions to be found in, and yet, you know, oh, the Lord's people have to prove how narrow the way is, how quickly we veer from one side to the other. Oh, friends, what is it that will keep us on the narrow path? It's the truth of our text, holiness becometh thy house, O Lord. Oh, convinced of the fact that we must be holy. Convinced of the fact that there's no way we can make ourselves holy. Oh, as the gospel proclaims the way of holiness, to Jesus we must cleave. To him we must look for power, for life, for holiness. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Ah, friends, it's not about you making yourself holiness, but it's about leaning on Jesus. And that's where David was, wasn't he? Though my house be not so with God, yet have he made with me an everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure. Oh, that's where the Apostle Paul was. Ah, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? But there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. To them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, friends, is that where you're found this afternoon? Having to confess in yourself utter unholiness. Oh, having to own shame and confusion of faith belongeth unto you, you're still a sinner in that sense. You still carry about a body of sin and death. You still slip, you still fall. Oh, but you're cleaving to the holiness which is in Jesus Christ, laying your whole weight upon him. Leaning hard upon your beloved. That's the only way up out of the wilderness of sin and death, you know. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Self-renouncing, you see, grace and marring. Oh, holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. But what does that mean, friends? It means this. As Tiptaff used to say, you won't sin cheap. If you know some of our texts this afternoon, holiness becometh thine house, you'll be fighting against sin. Oh, friends, what do you know of the warfare against sin? It is a warfare. The Word of God uses a very apt description. It's a warfare. Ah, friends, there's no peace. There's no chance of ceasefire. Holiness becometh thine house. There can be no dropping of the standard, you see. Oh, friends, what does this mean? It's a daily wrestling against sin. Daily wrestling, a warring within our members. Oh, friends, what do you know of this warfare? Do you need stirring up in that warfare this afternoon? Have you settled down? Our friends, have you settled down? Have you settled down? Are you sitting back and saying, well, I can't be holy, and therefore I'll give up trying? Oh, friends, have you settled down on that chief lie of Satan? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore it doesn't matter. Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Oh, God forbid, said the Apostle Paul. No. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, friends, you need stirring up again. You need stirring up again. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Apostle, and touch not the unclean thing. Oh, I will be a father to you, says the Lord. Ye shall be my children. Ah, friends, you need reminding. The world. Oh, in the world, but not of it. Do you need dividing from the world? Do you need bringing out again from the world this afternoon? Holiness becometh thine house. We were trying to preach recently from the account of Jacob. Oh, you know, friends, Jacob knew that holiness became the house of God there at Bethel. Oh, how awful is the place. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. The house of God and the very gate of heaven. Jacob vowed a vow. Oh, that if the Lord would bless him, he would come again to Bethel. And he went down to Laban. The Lord blessed him there, didn't he? He had to prove that despite whatever man could do, the Lord blessed him. Man could not steal the blessing from Jacob. And the Lord reminded Jacob of the vow. Go up to Bethel, Jacob. So Jacob arises. He packs his wife and his children up. And they set off. He meets Esau in the way. Oh, what various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat. But you know, friends, Esau is overcome, isn't he? The power of prayer. Oh, prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates, and Jacob had to prove it. But you know, friends, the greatest barrier to Jacob coming up to Bethel, what was it? His own wicked heart. Now, friends, Esau doesn't stop him coming up to Bethel, but what does? He gets to Shechem. Oh, he settles down there. He's in the promised land. He's back that far. Oh, he needn't quite go up to Bethel. I'm back in the promised land. That will do, won't it? Oh, he builds himself an altar. What more can Jacob want? It wasn't Bethel, friends. And it wasn't the fulfilment of the vow. Oh, and what trouble he had. Genesis 34. Oh, his children wreaked havoc with the children of the land. Ah, friends, brought Jacob nothing but trouble. Nothing but sorrow. Oh, but blessed be God. What did he do? He reminded Jacob, holiness becometh thine house. Oh, the Lord said again to Jacob, go up to Bethel. Go up to Bethel and dwell there. Ah, Jacob, you've got no place here. No place amongst sinners. No place in the world. Separate yourself again. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Go up to Bethel and dwell there. Holiness becometh thine house. Ah, friends, are you wondering like Jacob this afternoon? Have you settled down on low standards? Holiness becometh thine house. Oh, do you need the Lord to remind you of this? Go up to Bethel. Go up to Bethel. Separate yourself. Oh, leave all the idols that you've gathered for yourself in the land of Shechem. Leave them all. Holiness becometh thine house. They can't come up to Bethel. Dagon must fall before the God of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Oh, friends, Jacob went up to Bethel and the Lord blessed him there. The Lord blessed him there. Oh, you know, friends, this is a pathway of blessing. Holiness becometh thine house. There are some, you know, they walk in the pathway of sin. Open sin. And yet solemnly they tell you the Lord's blessed them here. He's given them a word there and something else. Ah, friends, they appear to be more blessed than anyone else. But you know, friends, the word of God knows nothing of it. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord. The way of sin is his heart. The way of sin is his heart. Ah, friends, the Lord blesses his people in bringing them to Bethel, and bringing them back to Bethel, time and time again. There was no blessing for Jacob in Shechem, was there? There was no blessing for Jacob in Shechem. He must come back to Bethel, because holiness becometh thine house. Ah, friends, if you're walking in the ways of sinners this afternoon, don't expect the Lord to bless you. But may this word be applied to your conscience with power by the Holy Ghost. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, go up to Bethel again. Pursue holiness. Oh, pursue holiness. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, friends, that we had a greater sense of it. That our cry more often, day by day, personally, was, could ever God dwell here? Oh, that we might be seeking after holiness. Be holy as I am holy. For holiness becometh thine house, O Lord. Ah, friends, if it's true personally concerning the Lord's people, it must be true also concerning the Church of Christ. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. Oh, Jesus, God dwells in the midst of his church. He is a good shepherd. He leads his sheep. He dwells in the midst of them. Oh, he promises, and it's a promise to the church, isn't it? It's not spoken to the disciples individually. It's spoken to them as a church, as a plural, you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God dwells in the midst of his church, and holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. Oh, friends, what a mercy when we're enabled by grace to cleave to this. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. You know, friends, he's still the same God. He's still the same God. He's given patterns for his worship. Ah, friends, the God that came forth as fire out of the holy place and consumed Nadab and Abiram, oh, when they were not found. In our text, holiness becometh thine house. And yet, you know, I find there's a spirit in Zion, and friends, I can't throw stones because it's in my own heart. It's the same spirit that we find in Naaman. Oh, you know, Naaman went up to be healed of leprosy. The man of God told him, go wash 7 times in River Jordan. But what did Naaman say? Behold, I thought. Naaman thought he knew better than God. Oh, friends, I've no doubt Naaman was very sincere, but he had to prove. Oh, Naaman had to be brought down. Naaman went down, washed 7 times in River Jordan. And what do we then read? Oh, friends, Naaman hasn't learnt his lesson in one sense. We wouldn't be hard on Naaman. Naaman was being taught. He was being led in the truth. Oh, friends, he returns to the prophet with money and with coats to give the prophet in thanks. It was not the prophet that healed him. The prophet couldn't take any thanks. Not unto us, but unto the Lord be all the glory. But, oh, friends, God will not receive gold and silver, will he? He didn't receive Cain's offering. Only one way. Shed blood. And so what do we find Naaman asking for? Oh, he then changes his mind, and how peculiar it seems. He now says to the prophet, give me 2 loads of soil. Oh, friends, why does he want to take soil home from the prophet to the land of Syria? Because God had commanded, oh, when you make a sacrifice, do it upon an altar of earth. Friends, Naaman had been taught by the Holy Spirit there's only one way to worship God. Only one way to give thanks. Only one way to approach unto him, the way that I have appointed. Because I am a holy God, and be holy. As I am holy, holiness becometh my house. And so Naaman had to go home. Ah, friends, not with the gold and silver, not with the changes of raiment, but with a lamb. Shed blood upon an altar of earth. Oh, the way that God had commanded. God won't be pleased with any other sacrifice. Holiness becometh thine house. Oh, friends, does this concern us about how we worship God? How we conduct the affairs of the church. Holiness becometh thine house. Friends, we must come back to the word of God. The standard of the word. But you know, I know how easy it is in the church meeting to begin to say, well, this seems a good idea, that seems a good idea. We must be pragmatic about it. No. Holiness becometh thine house. Ah, friends, it's not what the Lord's servants think. It's not what leaders in the churches think. It's what God says in his word. Holiness becometh his house. That's where we must come back to. Oh, what does God want in his house? Because holiness becometh his house. And oh, friends, in the Church of Christ, I don't think I need to say much to you on this subject, but holiness becometh thine house. Ah, friends, we live in a day where this is watered down. We live in a day where it's watered down. Oh, some of you may have heard the Lord's dear servant, Mr. Rutt, on Friday afternoon speaking from those words, charity never faileth. Ah, friends, it's a very important subject. Unless we do all things in love, he will have mercy and not sacrifice. And that's a principle that runs through the word of God too. That's part of holiness becometh thine house. Mercy and not sacrifice. But oh, you know, friends, there's another side, isn't there? As the hymn writer picks it up. Oh, God is love, you say. God is love. And we hear it. Oh, God is love, therefore we can lower the standard of holiness. Oh, God's love, therefore we'll overlook our fault. God's love, it doesn't matter what we do, doesn't matter how much we fall. Oh, God is love, you say. But the hymn writer says, God is love, you say. 'Tis true, but he's just and holy too, burning with vindictive fire. Ah, friends, may we tremble before him this afternoon. Oh, what a high calling we are called to. In the Lord's house, to be members of his church. Oh, to be stones in that living building. To be deacons, ministers of the gospel, pastors. Oh, friends, holiness becometh thine house. Who is sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient for these things? Oh, friends, our sufficiency is of him. Oh, blessed be a holy God. He gives grace. Grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in thy weakness. Ah, friends, this is the way we must go. This is the way we must go. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Ah, friends, the standard will never change. The way will never change. Because God doesn't change. You know, it's a great comfort to the Lord's people. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye, the sons of Jacob, are not consumed. But you know, friends, that doesn't only mean that his love doesn't change. It doesn't only mean that his grace towards his people doesn't change. It means that his holiness never changes. That his righteousness never changes. And you know, friends, what a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. Have you ever known what it is to have a boss who constantly sets a moving target? Or one day you are to do something and you do it and you appear to please them, but the next day you do the same thing and now it's not good enough or it's not the right thing to do. Ah, friends, it leaves us all as sixes and sevens. We don't know where we are. Oh, but you see, God isn't like that. He's holy. He doesn't change. How he declares himself in his word, what he declares as right and good in his word, what he declares as pleasing in his word is still exactly the same today. Holiness becometh thine house forever. Oh, friends, we have a faithful master. We have a faithful master. And oh, blessed be God, we have a God, a holy God who has provided for poor sinners a way of holiness, a way whereby, though despite all our shortcomings, our friends, all our unholiness, personally, in our personal walk and conduct, in the Church of Christ, ah, friends, he's provided a way of holiness. Jesus Christ the righteous. And it's to him we must look. Oh, it's to him we must call. Ah, friends, that is the way, the only way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no way of holiness. There's no way to holiness but through him. And oh, friends, he is a fountain of grace. It pleased the Father in him all fullness should dwell, and a fullness of holiness for his people. In Jesus resides that treasure to give to the poor, the treasure of holiness. Friends, he said, if any man lack, let him ask of me. Oh, do you feel this afternoon your lack of holiness? He's the one you must come to, and he has holiness enough. Friends, it's his holiness that the church will stand in to the end of time, and it's his holiness that the believer will stand in at last. Ah, holy as he is holy. To see him and to worship him in holiness forever and forever. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Ah, friends, what do you know of our text? Is God had in reverence in your soul this afternoon? Oh, do you have to rightly tremble before him? Have you been brought to realise you've got no hope in yourself, no standing in yourself, you're utterly unholy? Ah, friends, you have to tremble this afternoon that if God dealt with you as he should, fire would come out and utterly consume you. But oh, friends, where does that knowledge drive you to? Is it not driving you this afternoon to cry, oh, to Jesus, to that one mediator who stands between and garments dyed in blood? Ah, to the way of holiness, the way into the holy place. Oh, the Redeemer and the way of redemption. And oh, friends, he says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He receives sinners and eats with them. Ah, friends, he receives those who are utterly unholy. And he keeps and presents faultless before the majesty of God on high. And it's to him all the glory must be in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 176, hymn 176, tune Farningham, 141. Now, dearest Lord, to praise thy name let all our tongues agree. Worthy art thou of endless fame, our springs are all in thee. To whom, dear Jesus, to whom shall needy sinners flee, but to thyself, who bids us come, our springs are all in thee. Some tempted, weak and trembling saint, before thee now may be, let not his hopes or wishes faint, his springs are all in thee. Hymn 176, tune Farningham, 141.
Thank you.
forgive all that's been amiss in the worship of thy house. How we should, O Lord, rightly tremble before thee as preachers, worshippers, for holiness becometh thine house. Oh, but to thee we look, and Lord, before thee we must fall. Ah, the God of holiness, and the way that thou hast made, whereby sinners may be made holy, even through Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, may we be found, Lord, laying hold upon him, and his holiness and righteousness this afternoon. May Jesus be our only plea, may he be all our hope. Part us, Lord, in thy blessing, take us to our homes in peace and safety. Be with us throughout the remainder of thy day, throughout the remainder of our short and uncertain lives. Lord, help us to go forth into the world during another week without echoing in our ears, holiness becometh thine house, O Lord of hosts. Prepare us, Lord, for that holy place, and bring us at last into it, according to thy free grace. We'd ask all with the forgiveness of every sin for Jesus Christ's sake. And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.